Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Last week, the Supreme Court in Jamaica started hearing a case about an area of the island known as Cockpit Country. This hilly, dense region has been stuck in a debate about land rights for decades. The latest battle is between the government and the descendants of the Maroons, a collective of indigenous people and formerly enslaved Africans who claim sovereignty over the area. Today on VNR, we're re-airing an episode that digs into the Maroons' latest battle against the Jamaican government and the U.S. mining company Noranda, arguing that mining Cockpit Country would violate their sovereignty and destroy their way of life.
This particular spot was the same spot that Kodjo and the warriors would gather. Right, so these same stones that you're seeing here are those same stones that they will sit on. This tree is over 300 years old and still bears fruit today. This is the birth ground of the revolutionary warriors who defeated the British. It is very sacred, sacred grounds. You are in the heartland of Maroon territory.
I'm down here in Jamaica in an area that they call Cockpit Country. It's still governed by the Maroons, the descendants of the indigenous people and formerly enslaved Africans who defended this piece of dirt and fought off the British almost 300 years ago. They kicked the colonizers' asses.
When you know you have ancestors like we do, we're the ones who burn the plantations. Don't play with us.
Today, these folks in Cockpit Country are fighting a new battle.
We don't want any mining in our cockpits. We need to preserve our cockpits.
No mining in the Cockpit Country. We is a state, and we said no mining. That means no mining.
It's again to protect their land, but this time it's from the mining industry.
We're not moving. Start all over again now. Not moving.
We've always maintained the culture, maintained the heritage, maintained the land. We've never walked away from the legacy that we knew our ancestors left for us. So it is us who should lead that stand in defense of the territory. These are our lands.
For decades, bauxite has been Jamaica's red gold.
Jamaica is a perfect vacation spot. But Jamaica now is doubly important because here has been discovered bauxite.
Despite protests from Jamaicans at home and in the diaspora for several years, the Jamaican government is still moving ahead with plans to mine bauxite in the Cockpit Country, Jamaica's largest natural rainforest.
The sensitivities around the Cockpit Country are not just environmental, they are also historical and cultural.
Right now we need some justice. We need justice towards this right now, because
there is a delicate balance between the continuation of an industry and the sustainability of this country.
This is Vice News Reports, and I'm your host, Ariel Dimross.
And I'm Alzo Slade. Excuse me, brother. How you doing? I'm trying to get to Akampong. Can you help me out?
Straight?
Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you. It's Jamaican GPS. Here, it works better than any other GPS. Google Maps, Waze, any of that. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm looking for Chief Richard Curry.
Up in the town.
Up in the town.
Hey, Alzo.
What's up, what's up?
So, Alzo, who is Chief Curry?
Young fella, he's kind of suave.
Pleasure to meet you. Pleasure to have you here, my brother.
Oh, man, it's
welcome.
Good to
you
be
know,
here.
The ancestors are greeting you.
Yes.
The wind.
I received that. I received that.
He's the youngest of a council of four Maroon chiefs who lead this territory in Jamaica, Cockpit Country.
What we won't allow is sitting back much longer to allow our offsprings to be deprived of that freedom of choice to live off that land and benefit from that land like we do.
After the Maroons kicked the British's asses in the 1700s, they signed a treaty. And the British were basically like, okay, y'all got it. We give up. This is your land. So the descendants of the Maroons have had a claim to the land for longer than the modern Jamaican government has been in existence.
If you look right on the edge of that hill right there,
yeah,
you can see that that's somebody's farm. If you look, you can see banana trees in the top right there.
Mm-hmm.
They live off the land. They're self-sufficient.
You see cows right here.
Yeah.
You know, this is a farming community.
Let me tell you, this place is beautiful. There's jungles, there's mountains, springs coming up out of the ground with fresh water. I mean, you could literally just sip from these rivers and springs. 40% of Jamaica's fresh drinking water comes from Cockpit Country.
What is at stake here if they allow mining to begin in this territory?
And it has the highest diversity of animals and plants anywhere on the island. So many, like, endemic species.
Mining strips the land of its minerals, right? All of its properties that are essential for growing our crops.
So if you bring mining into this place, you're gonna fuck all of that up.
We've seen where the evidence of bauxite mining has done to farmlands, and it's irreversible. Money comes and money goes. This we only have once. The Cockpit Country is Maroon territory. The people will defend what's theirs.
What is bauxite mining? What is its history in Jamaica?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because you hear bauxite and people are like, what the hell is that?
Here's a lucky young lady. Yes, Jamaica is a perfect vacation spot. But Jamaica now is doubly important. Important to the whole free world, because here has been discovered bauxite.
So after Jamaica gained its independence from the British, colonization pretty much changed clothes and was now in the form of a largely foreign-owned tourism industry.
Only a few hours from the United States, a beautiful tropic island rising from the blue Caribbean Sea.
And then in the 1950s, bauxite was discovered.
Bauxite. The ore from which aluminum is made.
Bauxite is used to produce aluminum. You know, they make planes with them. You go to a cookout and you want to take leftovers. You wrap your plate in foil.
Reynolds Aluminum has been foremost in developing Jamaican bauxite.
And by the 1960s, Jamaica had become the world's leading exporter of bauxite, shipping out almost 5 million tons a year. And that's a lot of money.
More aluminum for the nation's defense, and more aluminum for all your needs. From the vacation land of Jamaica and the Reynolds Metals Company, pioneers of progress through aluminum.
Through the 70s and 80s, bauxite mining was a really big industry. These towns where the mining was happening, they were like boom towns. But this is the thing about mining, is that, yo, once you dig it up, that's it. No more bauxite there. And so over time, this bauxite started to dwindle. And around the same time, the Jamaican government, they saw these companies were making a whole bunch of money, but the bauxite profits, they weren't seeing any of it. They were like, no. They can't be making all this money and taking it away from us.
Right.
So Jamaica just started taxing the mining companies more. And some of the companies, they were like, well, you tax us, we're going to leave. This led to the bauxite industry in Jamaica to shrink. And now it's only 3% of the economy. And it provides fewer than 5,000 jobs. Despite all of that, the government, they keep pouring money into this industry to support it and try to expand it.
If the industry is on life support, why do they keep trying to expand it?
It still is profitable. It's just not as profitable as it once was. But you have to look at the industries that Jamaica has. It's only a few of them. There's tourism, agriculture, and there's bauxite mining. And this bauxite mining is a legacy business. It's like an institution. These politicians, it's almost like they're attached to this idea that bauxite is going to save them. And there's money to be made, but the ordinary folks in Jamaica, they're not seeing that money. And in many ways, the bauxite mining industry is harming them. Is there anywhere in this house where you can get away from the dust?
No.
As it stands, there's no mining in Cockpit Country. But all around Cockpit Country, there is mining. And so this gives us a good idea of what happens to these communities once mining begins. About 30 miles south of Cockpit Country in St. Elizabeth Parish, mining's been going on for decades.
This is the dusting from Monday and Tuesday.
This is just in one day.
And one of the folks we had the good fortune to meet was a very, very spirited woman.
We don't have no clean environment, so we cannot stay here any longer.
Her name is Miss Maverney McLeod.
How far are we from the Mud Lake?
See Mud Lake, through the trees, you can see her.
The mining company near where she lives, it stores its toxic waste from the mining in a lake within eyesight of her front door. Miss McLeod and everybody else in the community, they call it the Mud Lake.
I see through, right through the limbs.
Yeah, through the trees.
And so this Mud Lake is just full of bauxite mining waste.
Yeah, it's miles of like this open storage for toxic chemicals that are the result of aluminum refining. And when it dries, it becomes cracked earth. It looks like the surface of Mars almost. And the red dust blows out of it over everything.
Oh, man.
Everything damaged. Everything. Sometimes we stand up and the dust will blow and you wonder how it gets all into your underwear. Scratch your butt.
It's all over her furniture, her body, and it gets into her water supply.
But this is in the back of the house. How does the dust get back
here? Just imagine. Everywhere the dust damaged.
And you have to understand, these folks don't have central air conditioning
right
out there in the country, in these jungles, in the mountains, you know.
You got to be able to keep your windows open.
You have to be able to keep your windows open.
I don't know if you understand what Maverney McLeod stand up in her house telling you today, if you understand the real what we are going through with this Mud Lake. It's not a pretty, it's not a bed of roads. We live in hell when we work so hard to live comfortable.
What you're describing to me right now, like what is happening with Miss McLeod, like that is the future that Cockpit Country is trying to avoid.
Absolutely. These folks in Jamaica, they've seen what bauxite mining has done to communities. And they refuse to let it happen in Cockpit Country.
Go ahead. So what we're doing now is marking along the boundary.
But right now, mining is happening all around the cockpit. So this whole fight over mining is focused on a very important border.
This is how we're marking our territory. Army green with the red M in the center. Indicate maroon territory.
It's not just Chief Curry and the Maroons who want to preserve this land because of their historic connection to it. There are a whole lot of people in Cockpit Country who don't want to see bauxite mining there. So almost a decade ago, the Maroon chiefs joined a bunch of people and organizations around this area, and they all sat down to define the boundaries of Cockpit Country as a way to basically lay down the line and say, no mining beyond this point. Then, in November of 2017...
we were able to bring all the perspectives together, and we agreed upon a boundary for the Cockpit Country.
The Prime Minister, Andrew Holness, gives a speech.
That boundary will be enshrined in law. And within that boundary, there will be no mining.
This is, okay, we're getting somewhere.
The prospect of mining is not something that we contemplate easily.
But here's the thing. This Cockpit Country protected area that was created by the Prime Minister is different from what the Maroon chiefs and the other folks in Cockpit Country wanted. The government said, yeah, sure, no mining in Cockpit Country, except for this one huge piece of land that they carved out where mining could happen. Special Mining Lease 173, or as they call it, SML 173.
So wait, if the government says that they want to protect this area, why did they leave this particular part of Cockpit Country out?
See, now we get to the good part. Now we get into the juicy part, because I had the same question.
Mr. Dixon?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, sir?
And so that confusion led us to meet this guy, Hugh Dixon.
You got that strong Jamaican handshake, so that's a shake of trust there.
Of trust.
He's the executive director of the Southern Trelawney Environmental Group, one of the organizations that define the boundaries of Cockpit Country.
You'll notice up here where it deviates from the recommended boundary.
This is conveniently left out because...
Yes, conveniently annexed.
Bauxite.
For bauxite mining.
And what Hugh told me is that there's a U.S. company named Noranda that owns the lease to this land and stands to profit from mining it. But it's not just Noranda that'll profit if this part of Cockpit Country is mined.
The government of Jamaica is a 51% shareholder with Noranda in a company called Noranda Jamaica Bauxite Partners II.
The Jamaican government is actually a shareholder in a mining company created specifically to mine SML 173.
So that every bit of bauxite you see on the rail line heading to the Discovery Bay port, the government will take 51% of that business.
Ariel, to be clear, the government stands to make money if this area is mined.
They were elected by those people to protect their welfare. And in fact, they join a partnership with a foreign company to sell out the same people who elected them.
So how does Hugh feel about all of this?
Hugh doesn't want to see mining anywhere near this area. Not in Cockpit Country, not in Jamaica. But right now, what he's concerned about is the dispute over the border. He sees this whole thing as an affront to everything his ancestors fought for and to the legacy he wants to leave to future generations of this land.
So, Hugh, you all are in for a hell of a fight.
So can you tell me if I am in the protected zone? Because I would really love to know that.
After talking to Hugh, I wanted to see. So I went to that border between where the government is saying mining is allowed and where it's not allowed. And when I was there, I met a woman, Dr. Winsome White Williams.
I am praying I am in this protected zone.
Who lives right there on the line.
I'm praying all of up here is protected because we don't need this and we're not going to make anything out of it.
And I wonder if does this even matter, because if your house is in the protected zone and just across the street is not protected.
It's not. Then I'm not in that zone that is protected.
Right.
So you're very right. So my darkest fears may come through.
Just imagine you're sitting at a restaurant and you're at a table and your table is non-smoking. But a table 2 feet away from you is smoking. That smoke is going to affect you.
If I am even in the protected zone and over there is not protected, I'm still not in a protected zone. Because whatever happens over there is going to impact on me over here.
People in the past have been intimidated or coerced into selling their property for cheap, right? And then you take that money, where are you going to go?
They move out some of the people and resettle them into areas that they couldn't do anything for themselves. Where the hell would we go? What would we have?
And if they don't sell, right, they're made miserable by the mining noise and dust, and they're left with farmland where they can't grow crops anymore.
So we are going to be desperate. We are going to be a million times worse off than we are. We don't have anybody to protect us. It's a terrible feeling.
After the break, Cockpit Country fights back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
So when we last left off, you were talking to this resident on the border who's adamant that she does not want bauxite mining on her front door.
Absolutely. And I think she speaks for most of the folks in cockpit country, because these residents, they're strongly opposed.
Play that same drum again.
We met up with Chief Curry again. And we went with him and his fellow Maroons to the border of SML 173. There's this looming cloud of bauxite mining around cockpit country in a way that nobody really knows when or if it's going to start. But Chief Curry had heard that mining equipment was right at the border of the cockpit, and that these mining companies might be encroaching beyond that border to test the soil.
I see you brought your squad with you, and you're rolling deep today, huh?
He had a bus full of community folk that were wanting to go see what was going on.
We got the elders, we got the drummers, we got the youth. Everybody is here.
Kind of like a show of force?
Yeah. They had heard that these folks were encroaching upon their territory, and they were there to see if the line was indeed being crossed.
There's a gentleman walking around pouring rum on everyone's hands, out of respect for the ancestors and what they fought for the freedoms and to live on this land.
They had the drumming, they had some singing.
We saw two massive craters over that mountain just now that have been totally excavated. And there's a trail heading west.
We see the bulldozers and we see security there.
So we assume that the next movement is westward towards the cockpits.
Should the mining companies violate the sovereignty, what do you intend to do?
Well, there has to be recourse, right? We don't plan to just sit back and watch external parties violate and intrude on our lands, right? So we don't intend to sit around and watch that happen. What are we going to do? Maybe I can say that on camera.
We are in, friends, a difficult situation. And the government is doing everything it can to balance all the considerations. Mining is one of the economic drivers of the country. It is.
So Chief Curry and a bunch of other people in cockpit country are basically accusing the government of neglecting their duty to protect people and the environment.
That's right. This is Prime Minister Andrew Holness responding to those accusations.
We're not looking to destroy our environment. And it hurts me deeply when people accuse me of that. There are those who would want to shape the government in a narrative that it does not seek to protect the environmental assets of the people. I rubbish that narrative.
The Prime Minister, he's in a tough spot. Internationally, Prime Minister Holness, he positions himself as a climate leader.
I'm always very sympathetic to the environmental cause. Every decision that you make for development, it has to be with the environment first and foremost in mind.
We are partnering with others to ensure that our marine environment, on which our socioeconomic survival depends, is being sustainably utilized and managed.
Jamaica is really known for its beaches, you know, like Montego Bay and the Grill. All that natural beauty is essential to the economy of the country. But the beaches are not the only environment that needs protecting, because Cockpit Country provides so much of the island's drinking water that if they destroy it, that can affect the whole of Jamaica. And we saw just a couple weeks after we left the country exactly what can happen when bauxite waste gets into the water supply.
All the fish then. See there? All the fish is dying.
In August, one bauxite company called Windalco spilled a whole bunch of waste from their bauxite plant into this river, the Rio Cobre. It polluted the drinking water and killed thousands of fish as far as 15 miles away.
Right back from Windalco to Wall River. It was right to Spanish Town.
And just imagine the people living near the river, it was devastating for them. It was no drinking or irrigation water for days. They couldn't eat the fish from the river.
This thing can't keep on going on like this. What the government are going to do about this? We need some justice. We need justice towards this right now, car.
This is not the first time that bauxite mining has wreaked havoc on the water supply. And what's crazy, it's not even the first time that this exact company has polluted this exact river. This time, they're being charged with violating the Wildlife Protection Act by the National Environment and Planning Agency. But the fines, when they happen at all, they're so small. In this case, it's just around $1,000.
Wait, they're only being fined around $1,000 for all of that?
Exactly, $1,000. And the company Windalco, they deny responsibility for the pollution. In a statement to the media, they said they don't accept liability for the fish kill, but they're taking steps to restore normalcy to the river.
So you've got this man-made environmental disaster affecting much of Jamaica. And you've also got a prime minister who claims that he cares about environmental protection above all else. What's standing in the way of stopping these crises? You know, stopping bauxite mining and at the very least keeping it out of Cockpit Country.
I wish I could tell you what Prime Minister Holness is thinking. We reached out to his office for an interview, but he refused to speak with us. So did three other government officials. It looks bad for him at home. And considering he wants to be a climate leader on the world stage, it looks bad for him abroad. Because he's very sensitive to how he's perceived by Jamaicans in the diaspora. And a lot of folks, they send money home to Jamaica. So he wants to keep them happy too. But like I said before, there's this long history with bauxite here. So even for critics, walking away from an industry that once gave you that money is hard. So in a sense, you can say that the Jamaican government is still kind of addicted to this idea of bauxite mining and what it can do for the country. But guess what? It ain't doing that anymore.
And also, from your reporting, it sounds like this is generating a lot of controversy and pushback from people on the ground.
Yeah, it's a lot of pushback. And it seems to be working a little bit because the government seems to be reacting to it. In May, they announced that they were basically going to shrink the possible mining in SML 173, that they're going to take 23 square miles and make them unavailable for mining. But here's the thing. They didn't specify which parts of SML 173 that was, and Naranda was promised a different mining lease somewhere else on the island to make up for it.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, but hold on. On top of that, all of SML 173 remains outside of that protected area of Cockpit Country.
Huh.
So all of this sounds a little iffy to me, and it's hard to see this as a full victory. Jamaica has been colonized and extracted from in so many ways over the years. In Cockpit Country, you have to understand, this is a special place. It's a rare piece of untouched land that's not for tourists. These people govern themselves. And just like their ancestors before them, who kicked the asses of the British, I don't think Chief Curry and the descendants of the Maroons are going to sit idly by and just settle for anything less than the full preservation of their territory.
Our ancestors fought for the land. You know, we fought for the freedom, you know, of self-determination, of existing within what we knew as home, you know. So it's the same thing. We're looking at our territory being encroached on by miners. It's not guns, spears, knives, and all-out bloody war. Doesn't mean it's not a war. This is an economic war, right? So it's directly related to what our ancestors fought for. It's all bottled up and tied up into this one single act of encroachment.
Respect.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Vice News reached out to Noranda and to two other mining companies for comment. Two of the companies, Jisco and Noranda, declined to comment. However, one company, Windalco, did respond, acknowledging that their mining efforts have contributed to the relocation of Jamaicans based on, quote, amicable agreement with the persons and the company. They also stated that they have done many environmental impact assessments, and that the company uses that information to, quote, further strengthen our environmental management framework. In the months since this piece first aired, Chief Curry and the Akongpong Maroons have continued to assert their sovereignty and opposition to mining in Kokpit country. Amidst increased anti-mining pressure, President Andrew Holness responded directly to the Maroons, saying, quote, there is no other sovereign authority in Jamaica besides the government of Jamaica. This is the stuff of how guerrilla wars come. Afterwards, he faced pressure to sit down with Maroon leaders, which he did, but Chief Curry was not invited. The chiefs who were invited are from Maroon communities far from Kokpit country. 2 weeks after that meeting, in January, the first permits were issued for Noranda to start mining in SML 173. President Holness did not respond to Vice News' request for comment. In June, Chief Curry and the Akongpong Maroons sued the Jamaican government, seeking to put an end to all new mining activity and other exploitation of resources on Maroon lands. This week, lawyers for the Jamaican government filed an application to have the Maroon suit thrown out. The Supreme Court will now hear the government's case to dismiss and the Maroon's request for an injunction on the same date, September 30th of this year. Alzo and Vice News are continuing to follow bauxite mining and the resistance to it in Kokpit country. They've made a second documentary about what's been going on more recently, and it features great reporting. So go check it out on vicenews.com or on YouTube. Special thanks to Andrea Davis, Patricio Matos, and Eric Weinrib. Vice News Reports is produced by Sophie Casis, Jen Kinney, and Adriana Tapia. Our senior producers are Sam Greenspan. Our supervising producers are Ashley Cleek and Stephanie Kariuki. Our associate producers are Steph Brown, Sam Egan, and Adriana Rodriguez. Sound design and music composition by Steve Bone, Pran Bandy, and Kyle Murdoch. Mixing by Evan Sutton. Our executive producer is Adiza Egan. And the VP of Vice Audio is Kate Osborne. Janet Lee is senior production manager for Vice Audio. Fact-checking by Nicole Pasulka. Our theme music is by Steve Bone. I'm Ariel Zimros. If you have some time this week, it'd be so great if you could go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and take the time to rate and review our podcasts. It really helps other people find the show. Vice News Reports drops every Thursday, so be sure to check back in next week.